Thank you, choir. So good to see you this morning and glad to be back. And thank you so much for your attendance here today. Those viewing by way of live stream, thank you for joining in. And also by way of radio, thank you for listening. And if you're here today visiting for the first time, we're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. And if you have not received a visitor card, which is in our bulletin, would you slip your hand up as our ushers make their way back? They'll get you one. We'd love for you to fill this out and put an offering plate in just a moment as it's passed, and make a record of your visit here with us at Freedom Baptist Church. And we're glad to have you, and I'm glad to be back. Had a great time in Chesapeake, Virginia last week, preaching for Brother Paul Mitchell at Wayside Baptist Church there in Chesapeake. And I had a good time, and I don't like to be gone, though. I love to be home, love to be here, and thank you so much for being faithful last week. Brother Fredericks did a tremendous job all day, and I praise the Lord for that. And good to see you. Looking forward to what God has in store for us this morning. Let's get a song book. We're going to stand and turn to page 284, number 284, just a closer walk with thee.
You may be seated now. Amen. Good to see you, church. Thanks for being here in the Lord's house. Got a couple cards here to read. The first one here. Thanks so much for the flowers, visits, prayers during my recent surgery. I'm doing better and look forward to being back in church. And I think Vita is here today back there. Good to see you back in church today. Continue to pray for her as she recovers. And then also here, dear church family, thank you for the gift basket and your prayers. And have been recovering from my tonsillectomy. Both have gone a long way in lifting my spirits. And this is love, Stephen Hopkins. Both Sam, continue to tell him we're praying for him as he recovers. One of our young men, and lift him up in your prayers as he recovers from having his tonsils taken out. The older you get, the harder that gets. Amen. If you've ever had that done later on, it's hard the surgery to have done. So continue to lift Stephen up in your prayers. And church, I want to thank you before we take our offering up this morning for Vacation Bible School this week. What a blessing it was. And we thank you so much for all the prayers, all the workers. I couldn't even start to name names for all the workers that were here and helped, and the bus workers that were out late every night. And just thank you so much for Vacation Bible School. We had four precious souls saved, and that made it worth every minute of it. And we raised a lot of money for our missionary family, Brother Joey and Kathy Pegram. And just thank God for Vacation Bible School and all the support there. Thank you again. It's time to give, and Brother Merle, if you'll pray for us this morning.
Lord, thank you for letting us be here this morning, Lord. Thank you for the privilege, Lord. So many times there's things we just take for granted, our church, Lord, the freedoms that we have. Lord, just let us take what we hear this morning and apply it to our hearts. Lord, thank you most of all for sending your son to die for us. Lord, for redemption. Lord, things we just don't understand. Lord, I'll never understand why you love us like you do. Lord, if there's anybody here that, Lord, is not saved, Lord, help them to hear the word. Help them to understand the conviction that's going on in their heart. Lord, help them understand the void that needs to be filled. Lord, just let them come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, just keep your hand over us and help us to remember whose we are, Lord. Remember the world's watching us. And Lord, help us to always be aware of what's going on around us. We love you in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
morning, shall we? Let's turn around and greet someone, especially our visitors this morning. Let them know you're glad to see them. Amen. So good to see you this morning. You may be seated. And Miss Christie tried to get me to say, hear ye, hear ye. That was what we heard all week long. And we heard it gladly from Miss Ashlyn Anders. Did a great job. And I echo what Brother Jimmy said. Thank you to all those who labored. And a lot of our bus workers getting in 11 o'clock at night. And thank you so much for your hard work and your love for people. And that's why we're here. And I praise the Lord for those efforts. And every teacher, every nursery worker, if you taught a class, if you helped in a class, the crafts, we got the best crafts in the world. Everybody else has got cheesy Dollar Tree crafts. We don't have that around here. At Freedom Baptist Church, we got good crafts. I mean, where else can you make a bow and arrow that'll shoot from here, one side of the grass, plumb to the other? And that's pretty good. And it does have an eraser on the end, okay? no puncture wounds, all right? But it was wonderful. And just a good week. And thank you. The decorations in here were beautiful. The food was great as usual. Everybody that helped, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I can't say it enough. I'm just amazed at the heart you have for the Lord and for other people. And for that, we're very grateful. Got a lot of birthdays today. Terry and Jerry today. And amen. Birthdays, twins. And boy, I bet your mom had her hands full. Let me just tell you right there. And twins. Miss Martha turned 60 today. Is that right? Oh, yes. Yeah. And pray. Brother Josh's birthday today. Is that right? Amen. Anybody else got a birthday today? Raise your hand. Wonderful. Good. I hope I didn't miss anybody. Happy birthday to you. And that's wonderful. Why do you recognize birthdays? Because it's better than the alternative. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. I'm going to take care of one item of business real quick just so I can move on to the service. And don't get nervous, visitors. It's just an air conditioner, okay? There's two units that are not functioning properly, one in the balcony and one in our offices, and the total is right around $13,000 for both units. There's some extra work they have to do. Can I get a motion to go ahead and do that? All right, Brother Mitchell Church first, Brother Marty Serber second, all in favor? All right, any opposed? Wonderful. I didn't think so. You notice the pastor picked a hot day in July to do that, right? That's wonderful. And nobody's going to disagree with air conditioning today, especially after yesterday. It was terrible. And Miss Debbie, good to see y'all up there, newly married. Praise the Lord. And Trent and Alyssa got wed yesterday, and that was good. And a beautiful wedding. And boy, we've had a lot of weddings. Jordan, yours is next. Speak now or forever hold your peace, sir. Sure you don't want to think twice about this, huh? Oh, it's everything gets cracked up to be and then more. I'll see. That's what I'm supposed to say anyway, right? And if you have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter number 14 this morning. And you can keep your place there. We're going to be thumbing through Proverbs a little bit and into the book of Ephesians a little later on. But, you know, the Christian life, God's way is just better. In a lot of areas, in one main area, how we handle emotions. How we handle emotions. This world hasn't got a clue to handle how to handle life. They don't have a basis for handling life. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them to navigate through life. And I'm going to touch on several human emotions the next few Sunday mornings. And the title of the series, Better, because normal isn't working. It isn't working. I mean, we see our hospitals full. We see psychiatric wards full of people who can't handle their emotions. Now, I'm not talking about those who have chemical imbalances and real medical problems, but a lot of what we're dealing with is a result of what I'm going to talk about today. And we'll bow for prayer, have the song, and then the message. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy. I pray now you'll bless our time together. I pray you bless the song. Holy Spirit of God, speak to hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Some days you may lead me through green pastures beside the still waters.
Amen. Boy, isn't that the truth? And you know, the Christian life, the title of our series, it is better. Better hope, better home. We got it better all the way around. So if you're one of God's children, we have no reason to be trapped in what I'm going to talk to you about today. And I want us to pray for Miss Phyllis Ashby. Where is she at this morning? Miss Phyllis, we're praying for you. Your mother, is that right, passed away? And let's pray much for her, all right? And it'd be much. Do you mind if we do that right now? Let's pray for you, all right? Father, we do thank you for Miss Phyllis. And God, I pray you'll heal her hurt. And God, we know it's not easy losing somebody you love so dearly. And I pray you'll help her. Lord, thank you for her desire to be in your house today. And I just pray you'll put your arms of love around her and the family and help them through this difficult hour. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 14, and I want us to look at verse number 17. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse 17, the Bible says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." In Proverbs 15, verse 18, the Bible says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." You know, we live in an angry world. We even have emojis for that, right? We have emojis for anger. But I want to say to you, anger is more serious than the cartoon figure you see on the screen. It is very serious. And there are different types of anger. Actually, there's four types. But we live in an angry world. As I was out on Thursday for a lot of the day, interacting with people through an avenue of service that I've chosen to do, and trying to help people and do some things. Boy, I just realized again how angry people are. I mean, don't mess with their food. Right? Don't mess with people's food. If you want to get your head bitten off, just mess with somebody's food. You don't mess with their food. And you don't tell them what to do either. Right? They don't want to obey. Don't mess with their speed. They're going fast. And some of you like to go fast, and you get mad when you can't. And boy, just and you're wondering, you know, I know that what just happened, what we just encountered was not the real problem. There's a lot of stuff in all of us. And just like we've talked about before, you know, if you want to really see what's in somebody, just jostle them around a little bit. Just shake them up a little bit, and you'll soon find out what is in people. But we live in an angry world. I mean, just mad all the time. And to think we're the most blessed people in the universe. I mean, as a nation, America, everybody, there is no other country like this country. I mean, you go across the water anywhere you want to go and you're coming up second best in every area. But to think that we're some of the most sad people in all the world, it doesn't make sense, does it? You would think we're the most materially blessed people in the universe. So that ought to translate the most fulfilled, the happiest. But it doesn't translate that way. There are four types of anger I want us to look at today. The first of which is swift anger, just swift anger. I mean, out of nowhere, fast, coming up, quick. And, you know, anger has been linked, and this swift type anger has been linked to many medical problems. Headaches, digestive imbalances, insomnia, anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, heart problems, skin problems, stroke. Anger. And you know, the CDC says that 85% 85% of all diseases have a strong link to your emotional state. And that's a low figure. Most people believe it's higher. Angry people usually become sick people. Not always. You say, well, I'm sick and I'm not angry. I know there are exceptions. But anger will grip you, and it's an acid that destroys the container in which it's in. It destroys everything and everybody around it. It will cause you to possibly lose your friends, your job, your testimony, your wife, your children, your health. And if you live with somebody from West Virginia, you may lose your front two teeth. Just joking, all right? But you lose with anger, and it's like the person can't figure it out, you know, why this is happening. Why do all these things, why are my relationships splintered in every direction? It may be because you have a problem with anger. And this swift anger is just, it's fast. It comes on soon, as we've seen in Proverbs 14. And, just quickly. Now look at Proverbs 25 just for a moment. Verse number 8. The Bible says, Proverbs 25:8, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. You're going to wake up one day and not know you get into a situation because of swift anger. Just suddenly you're hot-headed, you're in the middle of something, and you're going to get there, and you may lose a lot more than money. But the picture here is somebody gets there fast, and when they get there, they don't know how to get out. And they end up losing. One day, you're going to come up against somebody that's angrier than you are. And it usually don't end well. But I want to say to you, there's a better way. There is a better way. So if you have a problem with swift anger, what do you do about it? And you say, Pastor, this is a Sunday morning. We are noble people, and we don't get angry. That's like the guy that says, here's how he defends himself about, your wife says, honey, you're hollering. I'm not hollering. You know, you got trouble when that happens. How do you deal with it? Number one, confess it. Confess it. Admit you got a problem. You know, some people walk, and it's destroying our families. We're so hot-headed. The least little thing, I fly off the handle and call people stupid, say things that we would have never, ever said had we had it under control. Confess it. You know, a good way to handle anger, say I'm sorry when it happens. I got a problem. Number two, check the source. Check the source. You know, usually there's more to it than what's happening at the moment. It's more than your kids got Kool-Aid on your carpet. They do make stain remover for that, but they won't make you any new kids. They make new glass for the coffee table, but you can't just go get some new kids. God gave you the ones you got. And be careful not to punish accidents. Punish rebellion, not accidents. Now, if they got a ball in the house and it busts the coffee table, they had a ball in the house. That's why you're getting disciplined. And as a consequence, you're going to pay for the coffee table. Amen.
But punish rebellion, not accident. Anybody can have an accident. Right. You don't punish accidents. But check the source, because often when that comes to the surface, when the kids come in and they forgot, they got mud on their shoes, they forgot to take them off, and they track over your floor, that's not good. But it's not worth screaming and going to your room and crying. Hello, everybody awake? It's good. Must have got something there. Not much of a fisherman, but I know when I get hung up. slamming the door and getting in a rage doesn't help the situation. Check the source, because usually there's something else deeper than the carpet or the bubble gum. It may be something happened to you years ago. It may be something that's festering right now. But only you can find that out. No counselor can pull that out of you. You got to find out what it is. What's making you so angry? Because somebody's done you wrong, then you make it torment for everybody else around you. Because you've been mistreated, or you've been lied to, or you've been disowned or discouraged, and now you take it out on everybody else around you. And you wonder why you can't get anybody to go out with you or to be nice to you. You're not nice. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. I just don't know why everybody avoids me. I hate to break it to you. There's a couple reasons. Maybe you're just not friendly. Maybe it's hard for you to talk to people, and I get that. I do. Or maybe when you do talk to people, you talk so sharp, they don't want to hear it. It might be that. Check the source. Number three, control it. Control it. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, verse number 11. Proverbs 29, verse number 11. The Bible says, "A fool uttereth all his mind." Now, for some people, you're already chuckling. That may not take so long, right? "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man," what does he do? "He keepeth it in till," what? "Afterwards." What kind of man? Wise man. So when you spout off, "I'm going to give him a piece of my mind," the Bible calls that foolish. Actually, he says, it's a fool who does that. Who just, without any restraint whatsoever, just swift anger, "I'm going to let him have it. I'm going to say the first thing that comes to my mind." And by the way, usually that's not good. I'm going to say, but a wise man keeps it in till when? Till after. He allows God, the Holy Spirit, to work on him about a response. But the fool doesn't care about the damage. He just throws a grenade on the whole ordeal. Right. But then what he doesn't realize, and what we don't realize, when you throw a grenade on somebody or somebody's family, there's going to be shrapnel, and there's going to be a lot of damage to clean up. A lot of stuff to clean up when you throw grenades. Control it. And I understand, for those of us who do not have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling, for those who are not saved, you may try. You may follow these three things and say, you know what, I've done those three things. But I want to say to you, unless the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, you really don't have the wherewithal to check it. To check it. To confess it, check the source, control it. The second type of anger is shameful anger. Shameful. It's anger without a cause. Anger without a cause. It's not a weakness, it's wickedness. You say, boy, that's my weakness. No, it's wickedness. To be angry without a cause is wicked. Anytime you are angry at a person and not an event, that's shameful anger. When your anger turns its tentacles and its bullseye on a person versus an event, that is wicked anger. That's sinful. It's shameful. You've just moved from an event that happened in your life that you're not happy about. You move to a person. And bad things are getting ready to happen when you do that. It's not weakness. It's wickedness. And maybe, you know, why do people do that? Maybe they lack peace themselves. They lack peace. Maybe they're not happy with themselves. Maybe they have sin in their own life. For whatever reason, they turn their anger to another person. Now, the swift anger happens in a moment. It happens with a person. It's not really being controlled by the Spirit of God. Shameful anger is unjustified, without cause, aimed at basically destroying somebody. I mean, you got your eyes on somebody. That unforgiving spirit. Turn over to the book of Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians. Chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 26. Be ye angry and sin not. I don't know many people that can do that. So don't let it lay. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to bed with it. Don't go to bed with it. Don't go to bed with anger. Don't go to bed with hostility toward the people that you love. Because when you go to bed with anger, you're doing verse 27. When you do verse 26, it progresses into verse 27. Look at verse 27, chapter 4 of Ephesians. Neither give place to the devil. You just give him a camping spot. You've given him a place. When you go to bed mad and angry and you don't get your precious wife and get on your knees by your bed and get it right and take her hand and say, I'm sorry, and bow down and say, let's take care of this. You go to bed mad. I won't let her go to bed mad. It ain't happening. Amen. She don't get mad much, but if she did, she's not going to bed mad. And I probably did something to make her mad. But you know what's going to happen? I'm going to do this stand-up day. This is what I'm going to do right here. When she rolls over like that, and she's just a little bit ready to go to bed and a little bit frustrated with me, maybe. I know that never happens at your house. I'm madly in love with my wife, but I'm sure she gets frustrated with me. Here's what I do. Hey, honey. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Baby, I'm sorry. Hey, baby. Can I have one of your feet so I can rub your feet? That makes everything better right there. That makes life better. I know y'all didn't need to hear that. But hey, shh. Hey, babe. Hey. What? Yeah. I'm ready to go to sleep. No, we're not going to sleep. We're talking about this thing. Don't give place. I don't want him to have place. Because one day it's a crack, the next day it's a river. Flowing with the things I'm going to talk about in just a moment. But stop the hole. Stop the cracks. Don't give him a place. When you get mad at your children, when you get mad at your spouse, you're giving him a place. Don't give him a place. Kick him out. Don't give him a place. Sometimes we get more angry with the people we love than people we don't know. And then the third type is stored anger. Swift anger, shameful anger, and then stored. Look back in our Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. How do you get through this? We'll talk about it in a minute, but it's the Spirit's help. The Spirit of God that lives in you as a believer is helping you. Be sensitive to His Spirit. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. Now, we got stored anger. Stored anger begins inwardly through bitterness, maybe resentment. The writer of Hebrews says it turns into a what? Anybody know what that turns into? The blank of bitterness? Thank you, Brother John. The root of bitterness. It starts with resentment. And what is that? That's inside, okay? You got it hit pretty good. That's inward. It starts with resentment. Somebody, not too bad, but you get a little miffed at them and you harbor it, you hold it. And the longer you hold it, the hotter it gets. It starts with bitterness, the root. Number two, it turns into wrath, and that's inward. That's inward. Wrath meaning hot, seething. So it's bubbling over inside of you. Somebody said something, somebody did something, something didn't go your way. So you let it set, resentment, and then you started putting gas on it. By examining the case further, usually it involves an individual, and you examine the situation or the circumstances of something that caused you hurt and pain, and the more you examine it, the hotter you get. And the more you look at what they did and how they did and how they have no remorse for what they did and how they treated you and they shouldn't have treated you that way, and the more you look at it, the hotter the flames get, the bluer they get, the hotter they get, the higher they get. And the wrath burns inside of you. And then you can't hide it anymore. It comes out in anger. This is outward. The anger's outward, it's active. The fire's started inside. It's like putting a trash can in the closet and building a fire in it and shut the door thinking you can do away with the fire. What's going to happen? You're going to burn the house down. Same way with this. Some of you have it. It's in there now. Rolling around. And you'll get around people that will fuel it. Pour a little fire, a little diesel on it. And it'll get hotter and hotter. It comes out active, outside, outwardly. It reveals itself, stored anger does, in anger. Number two, in clamor. That's vocal. Clamor is vocal. Has the idea of loud shouting. You get somebody to get hot on the inside, they're going to get loud on the outside. They become oblivious. They become like the ambisol in your mouth when you get a sore and you put some in there. What does it do? It numbs it. When you go to the dentist and you get a big shot in the back because they're removing a wisdom tooth, man, you liable to chew on rocks and not know it. Because it's numb. And this clamor, you're already oblivious to the fact that there's a fire inside of you. And it's raging, and now it's come out in anger, and now you can't stop it. It's like a volcano. It just keeps erupting. You say, I can't do anything about it. I can't control it. When you get around the source, it spews venom every time. You can't stop it now. It's out of control. It's gotten outside. It elevates in evil speaking. This is hostility or slander. You start tearing down now the person, the aim, the focus of this anger begins to be torn to shreds, one piece at a time. And often, as I said, it's people we love. And then, lastly, the malice, it comes out. You hurt him. This is where the slap comes. This is where a mama slaps a child in anger. And by the way, there's no excuse for that. I'm not talking about discipline. There's a place for that. And it's not their face. This is where the man, the cowardly man, physically harms his wife. It's out of control now. I don't know why. And you talk to him and they say, I don't know why that happened. I don't know what maybe. It started inside. We got to quit letting stuff lay around, messed with in our soul. When that bitterness lays there and that wrath lays there, it begins a big fire that no fire department on this side of God's green earth can put it out. Stop it early. Stop it before he has a place. Because when he has a place, he'll burn the whole house down. And it's not some little angry-eyed emoji. And it's not Mr. Potato Head on Buzz Lightyear. Toy Story. Here's my angry eyes, you know. We make light of it. You go talk to the children that's been the brunt of an angry man. It's nothing to laugh at. Or the children that's been burned on a hot stove because of an angry mama. And brother, you know about this. You've seen families hurt their children, hurt each other because of anger. It gets out, it gets beyond you. It's out of control. Out of control. The malice. You may hurt them with money. You may try to. I'm gonna destroy them financially if it's the last thing I do. I'm gonna destroy them. I'm going to ruin them. And by the way, what you need is not victory over anger. You need the victor over Satan living within you. For those who are not saved, you need Jesus Christ. You'll have no shot at fighting swift anger. When it gets stored, it goes from shameful to stored. You'll have no chance without the Holy Spirit of God living within you. You need to repent of it. Ephesians 4 says, put it away. Put it away. Put it away. How do you do it? Through the help of the Holy Spirit. Repudiate it. Hate it. I don't think we play with it too much. We think it's cute when somebody gets mad. Let me tell you, when your kids get mad, that's not cute. And right now, it's a little bitty piece of paper. But one day, that paper's going to catch on fire. It's not cute. You need to deal with it. Hate it. Hate anger. And rely on the Spirit of God. What does he tell us? Look back in chapter 4. What does he tell us to do? Be kind one to another. I mean, man, that's the better way. The better way is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Be kind. Be forgiving. Don't be angry. Don't be hot-headed all the time. And then the fourth kind of anger is sanctioned anger. It's channeled. You know, there are some times that you ought to be angry. There are. But Jesus' anger was never towards a person, and it was in a sense it was never when he received an injustice. Jesus didn't get mad on the cross. He got mad at the money changers because they were taking advantage of people, mistreating people. He was always, he would get angry at the injustices of other people, not injustices of his own. But we get mad when people do us wrong, but it never happened that way. He was always for the person who was being mistreated. It was aimed at an injustice. Be angry. There's the sanction. Sin not. There are some things we ought to be angry about. I mean, to think that how many God-loving people, saved people there are in North Carolina, but to think that pornography brings in more money than all the sports combined. Do you not understand that God's people angry at that could shut down that industry in our state? If we channel all the anger that's inside of us, because you know, anger towards injustices is fueled by love for God and for other people. It is the chasm of a godly anger, a sanctified anger, is love. It's love for God because I love God. I don't like killing babies. Now, I love people no matter what they've done. Amen. We love people no matter what. Absolutely. But in the same vein, we won't tolerate. We should love people enough, love God enough. There ought to be some things that we are angry about. I'm kind of worried about a man or a woman that don't get upset about some things. Amen. If you sit around and watch things happen and just sit back passively watching, not bothered, not disturbed, not moved, boy, I'd be worried about you. I am worried about you. Those that, oh, it'll be okay. Just let everything happen. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen now. Don't get so excited about everything. There are some things that we ought to thunder forth as God's people, not in hatred for the person, but in direct opposition to what it's doing. I'm against gambling. I hate the lottery. I hate everything about it because it takes from those that have and gives to those that have more. And it elicits an idea that you can get without working. And it takes from those that work to give to those that don't. And so, because of the injustices of gambling, I get upset about it. I don't like it. Matter of fact, I hate it. And that's okay. Sanction anger is all right. Bible, you're not going to explain be angry and sin not. You're not going to explain that. I said it was hard. I didn't say it was impossible. You're not going to explain it away. And when Jesus drove out the money changers, he didn't go up there. I mean, like I said Wednesday night, he didn't go up to them and say this and say, now, you fellas come apart a little while. We're going to have a little time out. We're going to have a holy huddle. And we're going to talk about this thing. Now, Brother Mike, you know, just calm down, Brother Mike. You know you shouldn't be doing that. We've talked about this before. Now, the next time you do it, I'm going to count to four. And when I get to four, I know that's our philosophy today, but that's not what happened. You can't, people try to change the history books. You're not going to change the Bible. It's in there. Amen. He knocked the tables over. I don't know any easy way to do that. He didn't use a dolly and he didn't use a crane. He knocked them over. Why? Because they were taking advantage of people. So there's a sanction. But may I say, most of what we do is not sanctioned. It's not sanctioned. There's a right time to have sanctioned anger. There's a right way, and there's right things to get angry about. The right time, a right way, and the right things. A lot of times we get mad over things that don't matter. And some of you right now are dealing with this anger problem. Listen, what you need is a Prince of Peace to move in to live inside of you. You need to be born again. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You'll have a source of strength to fight the battle of anger through Jesus Christ our Lord. But it only comes after you repent and believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes to live within inside of every believer and help you navigate, as I said, life. Some of you have been saved for 20 years. You're mad as a wet hen right now. Just mad. Whatever. Just like the old boy, Curtis Hudson, was visiting this family, and he said, I want to invite y'all to Forest Hills Baptist Church down here in Decatur, Georgia. We ain't coming. Well, sir, why ain't you coming? He said, we got a quart of milk in the refrigerator. Is that right? Got a quart of milk in the refrigerator. He said, yeah. He said, what's that got to do with you not coming? He said, well, preacher, when you don't want to go, one excuse is just as good as another. There is no excuse for swift anger or shameful anger or stored anger. There is no excuse. It's not weakness. It's not something that's been passed down from generation to generation, and you got to keep it up. It's wicked. Let God deal with you today. It's destroying your home, your husband, your family, your children, everything you touch. It's destroying. Father, thank you for this day. I pray you'll help us now. Pray for those that are here that are not saved. Lord, I pray you'll save them before it's too late. And Lord, I pray for that one that may be here struggling with this thing of anger. God, I pray that you'll help them. God, give them victory over it, I pray. And Lord, I pray that you'll work in hearts. God, help us to have peaceful, kind homes. In Jesus' name. It's about nice.
Hello, Pastor White here. I want to thank you for tuning in to our live stream today. Whether you watched it live or on YouTube or maybe an archived sermon, thank you so much for taking the time to do so. And I wanted to conclude the message today by telling you a few things about how God feels about you and us in general. First of all, I want you to know today, if you're listening, God loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that means you, friend. And so I want you to know today God loves you. The second thing I want you to know is that all of us are sinners. We've all missed the mark. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark, every one of us. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in Romans 10:13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to encourage you today, friend, there is hope for you. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to talk to someone about trusting Christ as your Savior, you can do so. You can reach us at the church here at area code 336-969-6937, or you can reach us on our website at freedombaptistrh.com, where we'll have more information about salvation. And we'd love for you to let us know of your decision for Jesus Christ today. If you need prayer, if you need encouragement, please don't hesitate to call or email or visit our website. And we trust that you'll find the help needed in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you have a wonderful day, and may God bless you. Thank you again for listening to our broadcast.